All right, guys, today we got a good episode for you. Dr. Jason gets fired up. Dr. Brandon drops some good knowledge as well on just how to manage the pressure of being an entrepreneur, not quitting, trying to work through things and figure out what your path is and what you need to do to keep on down it. So we'll jump right into this next episode. As always, thank you guys for listening. If you want an EJ t-shirt, please DM us on Instagram or on Facebook and let us know some topic requests you have. Let me know what your size is and where I can send your shirt.
All right, we're ready. Here we go.
Got it.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, guys, welcome back to the EJ. Let's dive right in. Dr. Brandon.
Head first.
Honorary doctorate, Chelsea Lowe, with us.
Dr. Lowe.
Just gave that to you, Dr. Lowe.
I'm the DL.
But so good to be back with you. And as usual, we're going to talk about all things entrepreneurship. And we're going to dive in specifically to something that's on my mind. It's people ask sometimes, you know, what your favorite thing is, what your least favorite thing is, all that type of stuff. I'll tell you right now what my least favorite thing is. The one quality I cannot stand in people is a quitter. And I think that you're faced with adversity. It's all how we get through it. Different people, different levels. And by the way, different levels of adversity, for sure. But throwing your hands up and quitting, I think, is one of the worst traits that people can have. And so today, let's talk a little bit about that. Because what gets people to that point? What gets people to throwing their hands up in the air and saying, I quit? Did they have a false sense of what entrepreneurship was? Are they just a weak-ass person that can't get it done? Have we all thought about quitting, if we're being honest? Let's talk about that. Let's just talk a little bit about what makes a business person quit after they're supposedly living their dream life and opening up their business.
I thought you were going to say bogeys, one thing that you hate worse.
I like bogeys.
Bogeys.
Those are good on the scorecard.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't mind those. Doubles and triples, not so much. But
sorry, back to you. Back to your serious question.
So do you have a input, or should we just pass it to Chelsea?
Jesus, right off the bat. I don't know why people go into that mode necessarily. Because we all have it. I've definitely had it. You had it. I think every entrepreneur has the thought, but the action of actual quitting, man, I don't
know. Yeah, the action's a big thing. I mean, I think that, like we said off camera. So I mean, when you go through adversity, any smart person in their mind has a conversation with what are my options to get out of this, right? Double down, invest more, get the fuck out. Like, what am I going to do? And so I think that if we're being honest, you're right. Every entrepreneur has to list that as an option because we always know, hey, I'll just quit, right? Sometimes people have quit one thing. For instance, Vanessa and I quit the restaurant business, right? To go forward with another, you know, career path, which is chiropractic.
Yep.
That was a pretty damn good.
That was a good quit.
That was a good quit. So I think maybe what's most frustrating is when people, they want everything that goes along with being a business owner. And the second they get smacked, which is inevitable, it comes to all of us, their first instinct is I quit. And they don't care what tale of destruction that leaves behind them. It's not, how do we work through this? How can I double down? Could I borrow some money? I mean, there's a lot of different things you need to talk through. But I think when your first response is quit, then you should have never opened in the first place because you're really not living your dream. You just wanted something that sounded cool so you could say you're an entrepreneur. So I think that to your point, yes, everyone thinks that, and you'd be lying to yourself if you didn't.
Yeah. We've seen it before too, where people have the excitement of being your own owner and own leader and own boss. It sounds awesome, man. I'm going to run the show. But then as soon as you hit some of that adversity, that story changes a little bit. Gosh, has it created some destruction over the years? We could do a whole show about destructions that we've seen from people or offices that thought they were ready for that.
Do you guys remember the feeling of, remember during the heart of the pandemic when you were walking around without a mask on and you'd see someone else without a mask on and it was like an immediate bond?
You're like buddies.
Like you're like, yeah, good for you. You know, like you just felt like this connection, no matter how old, how young, male, female, whatever, it didn't matter. You're just like, hey, like you said hi to them just because it just felt right. I think entrepreneurs are a little bit that same way too, like Jeep owners.
Yeah.
Right? It's like
the two finger wave.
You wave to fellow Jeep owners because there's some part innately that's there. Entrepreneurs feel the same way because, you know, what, 5% of people are entrepreneurs, 1% make it. We've all heard the odds. It's stacked against you at a level that makes no sense to even go in business. Mm-hmm. Yet small businesses drive the economy, right? They're, you know, big businesses were once small businesses, right? So, I mean, so there's this club of entrepreneurs, and I think it's because you know what they go through, whether they own a hair salon or they're a realtor or a restaurateur or a chiropractor or whatever. You know, like, man, I know what you've been through. Like, you've been lying in your bed awake at night wondering about payroll. And good for you for fucking solving the problems and facing the challenges and having the hard conversations. That to me is what an entrepreneur is. I love people that go through that, whether it's my field of work or not, because I know what they had to do to get there. And I think so many people want to do that now because you can make a lot of money, and you can. You can also lose a lot of money. You can set your own hours. That's amazing, right? All that type stuff. But really, everyone wants to, more so now than ever, make my own schedule, work on my own terms, be my own boss, decide what's going on. Well, along with that comes a lot of responsibility, people that work for you, payroll, all kinds of stuff. And so I think, you know, back to the original idea of the topic was just like, what makes people quit? Like, why do they get to that point? And when is it a good thing to quit and just move on or just modify, right? Which is what we talked about. You kind of just change your path. So, mm-hmm. Chelsea, you haven't said a word yet. Would you please just say a big diatribe? Anyways, you Chelsea, guys- no, I'm just kidding.
I can't. You guys are on it. You guys are
John passionate.
Straddling those mics. I can't even get a shot. I can't even get a shot in.
She just quit. She's like, that's it. I'm out. I'm not doing it.
I'm sitting over here trying to figure out how to not quit because I can't talk at all. But no, I think, I don't know. It's frustrating when you see people who just quit before they even try to solve any problems. And I think a lot of people just get so frustrated and kind of react and just want to like throw in the towel instead of. Sometimes I get like, you feel that way, but you need to like go for a walk or do whatever you need to do to cool off and just be like, okay, what haven't I done? Which a lot of times people haven't tried very many things at all to solve the problems, whatever they are, to figure out how to move forward. And like you said, sometimes it might not be the same exact path, but figure out a different path, you know, this to your end goal.
Isn't that what makes you like an entrepreneur, is like you solve problems that other people couldn't?
Right.
So yes.
Essentially, you solve problems for a living. You solve other people's problems. That's why they pay you money. Mm-hmm. Now, that may be their problem. Could be hunger. It could be I need a new house. Could be my hair is too long. Could be I need a new outfit. Whatever you solve, that's what you do. And sure as shit, you're going to have adversity come. Just like a relationship. If your first thing when you get in a fight with your spouse is, we should probably get divorced, right? You're just a quitter. Like, you're quitting on that thing when you knew there'd be good times and bad times, right? It's in your vows probably. And so you have to know, like, how do I sit down and talk through this? And it's so tough on sometimes, in some cases, to do that because it seems like hopeless, but there's always an answer. Like, they're all, and entrepreneurs know that. And the ones that are more seasoned, and this is the one thing I've learned a lot, is that things will work out okay. And as like optimistic as that sounds, there's been times where I'm like, shit, man, I don't know what's the answer here. You work through it, you do the right thing, you take a walk, you work out, you sleep on it, you come back to it, you know, you ask advice, you have hard conversations, you hire someone, you fire someone. There's a lot of different solutions that could come out of it, but things work out. And every entrepreneur that's of anything success-wise can take you back through a long list of massive amounts of challenges that they overcame. So I think that if you think right now that you would quit the first sign of adversity, you should probably check yourself that you're not in the right field. I mean, like us that are entrepreneurs, this is our dream. Like this is our baby. It's like another child to us. Like we've worked so hard to build this that you don't quit on family. You don't quit on your business. And so I think people need to realize if you think like it's kind of something I want to do, I'm not completely sure, don't do it.
Right.
Because you're going to wreck your finances. You're probably going to wreck 8 other people's finances, family and friends and all kinds of stuff along the way.
I've said that same thing when I'm talking to different non-doctor owners that are looking at our franchise to possibly buy in. And I can tell pretty quickly if they're like serious. They're like, no. I'm like, if you're not asking some of the right questions and even thinking on the right path, just time out, stop. Don't take
it's a question we've gone to, right, in our interview process.
Yeah.
Is like, are you an entrepreneur? And take us through a little bit.
Many have come from the corporate world where everything's set, your salary's set, there's set hours, there's set expectations. And yep. while there's different challenges in the corporate world, certainly,
right.
completely different animal in the entrepreneurial world.
Yep.
Where none of that stuff is set. In yep. fact, it could be different day to day.
Yeah. The benefit is someone else can't go through challenges and decide that your position no longer exists. Right.
So, right.
so the benefit is you at least dictate your success. And so it's kind of cool to be in charge of your own destiny. It's a great, but you have to love that. You know, it's been in my blood since I was 12, right? So I don't get it any other way, but I know other people, it's not.
Well, safety. For some people too, like, I mean, or for everybody, you have to be an entrepreneur for the first time. Well, at least one time, right? So like, it's okay to not know everything and get it perfect the first time around, but figure it out and know that before you quit, you have tried every single thing you possibly can to succeed at whatever you're at, you know, going through.
No, and I'm glad you said it. Cause I mean, like a good example we were talking about off air too, is Vanessa and I owned a restaurant before we even started our chiropractic practice, before we went to grad school. And so with that, it was more of a decision of that was our dream at the time. You know, we'd run restaurants and we'd been in undergrad for restaurant management, or at least Vanessa had, and that was her degree and stuff. And so when we did it though, it was something where we said, we don't want to do this our whole life. And it wasn't the easy decision. I would argue it was a much tougher decision to be like, let's sell the restaurant to our partner. Let's try to do the right thing, like not mess up anything that we, you know, people trusted us and such, but let's go a different direction. Right. We're heading north. Let's head south. We're going left. Let's go right. Like, it was a completely different thing. And it was one of the best decisions we've ever made. But it wasn't the first sign of adversity. We quit. Let's get out of here. Let's close our doors and we're not going to pay our bills. That's different. It was, hey, what's a calculated way that we can change paths here and get back onto a path that we feel really good about? Because quite honestly, that wasn't what we wanted. And so there's ways to do it. And you'll evolve as a person. You evolve as an entrepreneur as you get older, for sure. And like you said, Chels, it's going to be your first time, right? There's always going to be your first time of dealing with stuff. And so during that time was when you start to develop who you are and how much you really love what you do and how much you're willing to fight for it and all this type of stuff. So, but being a quitter, that's different. You throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm not doing it. Being a person that calculates and is tactical, no, you may modify things a bit and take a completely different path, but you do it the right way and you use those lessons to springboard you to success on the next level.
I was trying to find it and I couldn't. It reminds me of a quote I saw on a Facebook page of ours, our group, a while back. It said something about people don't always understand how tough it is to own your own business and relatives ask for discounts and people think you have the, and it brought up all the negatives, I guess, about owning a business and some of the shit that is hard. And there was some truth to that, but the post completely forgot or completely left out all the freedoms and the successes and the joys of ownership. Mm-hmm. And I totally disagreed with the post, even though it had some truths in it, because it didn't show both sides of that story. Mm-hmm. And I said that, and it kind of spurred some interesting conversation, even among some of our top doctors, of like, well, yeah, that is a good point. You can't always just think about the shit that you have to go through for owning your own business, because there's a lot of cool stuff too, a lot of cool stuff.
I saw a post on Facebook yesterday, which kind of sparked some of the interest in doing a call on this or a podcast on this, but it was the same thing. It was almost like saying, hey, feel sorry for me, try to keep my doors open. I may need some, you know, it was like that kind of tone. And I'm like, that's not a tone. Like at the end of the day, no one gives a shit about it, right? Business is heartless. And that's kind of the blessing and the curse of it. Really, what you have to provide a service that people want. It's a super simple equation. To be successful, you provide a service that people want and they'll pay you money for it. And if you have that or a product, then you're good to go. If you don't, then you won't, right? So, I mean, you have to modify your product or your service or what you do differently than your competitors. Do you do it better? Is it a different widget? Is it a cheaper widget? I mean, like what makes you unique? Right? What's your USP, if you will?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to, but I saw that, and this is a different post than the one you're talking of, which I know of as well. But this one was like, hey, we run the economy, but make sure that you, you know, support us. Hopefully we stick around, all that type of stuff. And it's like, that's not the angle you take. Yeah. That's kind of how it was. Like, toughen up.
Desperate.
So, Hey, Chelsea, I have a question for you because Chelsea gets to interview a lot of the doctors, almost all of them that come into our company. So I would guess 90% of them tell you like, yeah, I want to own my own clinic. That sounds great. I want to own. How do you know the difference between the ones that just say that? Because I imagine they almost all do versus the ones that actually end up doing that. Because there's a lot of paths within our company to go wherever they want. They can fit whatever role they want, but how do you know if someone's like bullshitting on that or just telling you what you want to hear and then advice you give to them to say, yeah, you should open your own or hell no, you should probably work in an office for a while first.
Yeah. Well, I don't know for sure. Right. Anytime.
Right.
Like you have after like one or two phone calls, you just have to go with your gut on what you think. But there are some docs that come to us that say they want to start off as an associate or a clinic director, and then eventually open their own. They want to get their feet wet, learn the systems, and probably see if our company is a good fit for them and vice versa. So those are one type that, you know, is safe to say, like you can let them in and see if it works out. And then yes, down the road, they probably could open their own office if they kind of prove it to us that they can. But then I have a lot of other docs who have been in school and maybe they're still in school or finishing up, but they've been involved in our student club. They shadow every chance they get, like in some of our other successful offices. And they just are already showing not just us, but like more doctors in our company that they're like hungry, like they're ready to go. They've already started looking at locations before they've even signed their franchise agreement. Like they are ready to go, you know? So, I mean, that I would say like just taking the initiative and doing things before they're even like told to do them or start their training or things like that, you know.
I've definitely had the wool pulled over my eyes many times where someone just said like, yeah, I want to own. And I thought, okay, great. This person's ready to roll. And I couldn't have gotten it more wrong. Right. They weren't ready to even open the door. So I get what you're saying. I don't know if there's a secret answer to that either, but I know as many interviews as you do.
We've looked for a secret answer, right? Right.
We've gotten a lot better though, for sure. I think at like just finding people that at least are going to be a really good fit and hard workers and want some sort of advancement, whether that means going from associate to clinic director or from clinic director to ownership.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to distinguish between people that have had like losses, like people that have troubling times is not the same as quitting. So like we're saying like how you deal with those, right? So I mean, like every entrepreneur has that. Whether you study Walt Disney or anybody, they always have these stories of like failed, 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 but they fail and then they learn, and then they fail and then they learn, and then you get a little bit better. So it's not that you're not going to have, in fact, you're going to have times that are tough. Your first year of your business and really forever in your business, you're going to have frustrating times. Employees are going to quit. The government's going to do something that doesn't cooperate with what you're doing. Like there's just shit that happens, right? And so how you deal with that though is so unique. And I think one thing I see that, you know, I can see how they've done it in the past, or maybe they answer this directly, isn't what I want to hear with like, I'm going to be successful and set every record. Like that's great. Like that's cool. But I want to know like, what do you really think you do in a time of adversity? And if they say things like, you know what, I'm going to tap into the group because a lot of us know more than one of us and see what everyone can do to help me through that. I want to show up at work every day with a smile on my face because I love my profession. And I think it's important that I deliver the care to my patients because they deserve that. Like if they're saying things like that, I'm like, yeah, we can work with that, man, because I can take anybody and get them through tough times if you stay true to yourself and you keep your word and you still love your profession. Right. But when people don't give a shit what they do, they're just chasing dollars. They don't love their profession. They love the idea of being rich. And we see these people all the time. They're either opening this or then they're on the Bitcoin and then they're selling houses and then they're on this multi-level nutritional thing. You know, so it's like these people just come and go because they're chasing a buck. And when people though are like, hey, I'm going to do what I love and I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to go through good times and bad times and all that, then I think that those people, you can absolutely turn them into champs and show them how to deal with adversity. Because back to what I said earlier, shit works out. It always does, right? Death, not so much. You get thrown in prison, not so much. Take those two things out, you're going to work through anything, right? So don't do anything illegal and don't die, and you'll get through this process one way or another. And everything will make sense isn't that kind of a true cliche, like big time? I find like down the road, things make sense that you went through.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is like, oh, I bet that's why the universe kind of sent that to me. You have to kind of believe that. So
I look back on a lot of little, like we give our docs little opportunities to show what you're talking about. Like not just saying like, I'm going to crush it, but like there's little trainings they can attend. There's forms or spreadsheets that we have them fill out to begin to understand numbers, or certain meetings they don't have to that are optional. And I watch and see what they do. Are they on those things? Do they fill that sheet out? Have they still not yet completed this form? And I pay attention to that little stuff. I think it leaves little clues, maybe not the whole answer, but little clues as to, are they going to make it in their practice or not? Are they going to make it as an entrepreneur? All those tiny little clues. So for you guys listening, I think that's something you could do in your businesses, is to find ways to challenge or test people with stuff they don't have to do that would be optional, but would lead them down the right path. Give them little tests, if you will, to see if they're actually picking up on that stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you.
I was just going to say, I wish there was a way to like know if someone had like the quit in them or if they were going to push through. Like what is it that like makes, because some people just really are, they just like the first chance they get, they're just like, nope, I'm done. Can't do it. Scared, like tired, even though they haven't tried stuff. But like, I don't know. The reason why I'm thinking of that is like just coaching my kids in sports and like helping them. Like I want them to not be quitters, you know, but, and they're not so far, but I don't know. It's kind of like, do they have to get pushed when they're younger? Do they have to be like, have a certain personality trait? Is it just like, I don't know, like what makes people quitters?
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is million-dollar questions for sure. I think a couple things that you look for, again, is like, one, do they listen to your advice? So if someone tells you a problem and you're like, okay, I get it, man. Let's work together. Let's get through this. Why don't you make this phone call? Why don't you study these stats and let me know what these are? And then you get back to them the next day. And then one of the biggest excuses is I didn't have time. Right? Well, you had time because you're not busy right now. So, I mean, you had time, because if it was me, I would have stayed up till 4 a.m. if I needed to get done what I did, because you spent the time showing me the stuff. And it's important to me that I listen so I can be successful. So don't ever come back with, I didn't have the time to do it, because you did. Come back with, I didn't prioritize that, or I thought it was a stupid ass idea and I'm not going to do it. Great. I mean, I respect that more than I don't have time. And so I think that you start to look for people that have time, and that aren't just saying what you want, like I'm asking for help to see if you'll fix this for me, right? Like they just want you to say, hey, do you need 20 grand? Like I'll loan you 20 grand. You need 50 grand? I'll loan you 50 grand. But I'm gonna say, and maybe that's the answer down the road, but right now let's figure out the problem first, because I don't wanna give 20 grand a month while you don't fix a damn thing and just hope things get different, you know? So I think that people that actually listen and show a willingness to fix these challenges, that's important to me, to work with somebody to get through this. And I mean, in our company, it's filled with so many docs that have done so many great things when faced with adversity and come out of it and just shine. But it's why some of our docs are probably the top 1% of all chiropractors in the nation, right? They kill it, but they know how to go through tough times, and they know how to slay the dragon.
That group has also probably produced a lot of quitters too that have come through our company. And there's been several, you know, it happens with this many offices and this many doctors in this group. That fear that you were talking about, Chelsea, comes out immediately. Like people are like, oh shit, I can't even compete with that, so I'm just going to quit. That's easier.
Our best practice in our company right now was a quitter that left the company because he couldn't work it. And now they've brought it into a multi-million dollar practice.
Yeah.
Right. Just by coming in, same patient base, same intersection, same four walls.
Right. Right.
Failing practice, top practice in the country, which is, you know, going to damn near do $2 million this year. So, you know, so a lot of times it's your willingness to work through those tough times. And if you're not, then, and there's nothing wrong with it, then be an employee. Right, then don't deal with those problems because you don't want to. And that's great. When you're an employee, by the way, it's not your job to deal with all that. Your job is to go and build and get to work. But I mean, rents due, not your problem. Payrolls due, not your problem, right? You want it that way. And so I think that's fine. There's no right or wrong. And in fact, 95 out of 100 people want that. So that's okay. And our company is reliant upon those people to run our offices. So I love the people that want to be an employee and not have to worry about it. But I'm just saying, if you are an entrepreneur, and in that matter, if you are an employee, then don't quit when things get tough, right? Mm-hmm. go to work on it. So
there's still, there's even people in our group right now that, that are that, that's not like a lesser thing. They just really know their role and they understand that it's exactly what they want and they can make an incredible life for themselves, incredible incomes, own multiple clinics, but not have the responsibility, like you said, of having all the payroll and training and marketing and all the stuff that, that comes as an owner. Yep. They just kind of accepted their role and love it and embrace it. That's fine too. We've had to help people discover that they were trying to do something that they weren't. And in helping them discover it, it made them happy, made us happy. That was okay too. Yep. So nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
So if someone thinks they've tried everything and they really have like done stuff, they've listened to people, taken advice, done it, but they're still just like, I don't know if I should quit or if I should do it. Like, what's the best way to like figure it out? Like, I know you said like, stay true to yourself and make sure you're still passionate about what you're doing. Like make pros and cons lists. Like, what do you guys think is a way to like, for them to work through, like, should I be doing this or should I go down this other road?
Well, I think you've listened to the consumer a little bit, right? So, I mean, if your passion is creating a widget, but no one needs this widget, right? At one point, Blockbuster was the best idea on the planet. Not that far after that, it was worthless. Doesn't matter how passionate an owner was. If no one owns a VCR, no one's going to play your damn videos and rent them, right? Payphones. At one point, someone made millions of dollars putting payphones all over the country, right? No one's going to use them now. So, I mean, I think you have to realize realistically, do you really have a solution to people's problems or is it outdated or it wasn't a good idea in the first place, right? So then do you modify that idea or do you just switch gears completely? There's so many different scenarios. It's impossible to go over them all. But I think if you don't know, ask people that will tell you the truth. And just say, hey, is this really a good idea? Or, you know, am I really good at this? Now, if there's people doing what you want to do and are killing it, chiropractic, right? If you're not making it in chiropractic, but you look around and say, oh my God, there's million-dollar practices all over the place, right? Then you have to start to look at, it's my delivery of this product.
Yeah.
And that's you. And then you have to start asking other questions of like, why do I suck? Why don't people want what I have to offer? Why, you know, and then you have to be really honest with yourself and fix that. And do that. To your point earlier, I wanted to add to Chels, quitting takes on a lot of different forms. Athletics is a good example. Quitting in athletics takes on the form of being a shitty sport, blaming your teammates, blaming the coach. Like it's other people that are just like, it's not my fault. And you're trying to put that blame on other people. So there's like the people that literally walk off the court, right, or decide not to play. But then there's other people that just become this like cancer in their team because they're blaming everybody but themselves, and it's the coach's fault and the equipment's fault and the league's fault and all kinds of stuff like that. So I think that that's a different way that people quit in business and also in sports, is they just become this negative person that just takes people down with them. We've worked with some of these people, man. They're tough because they're just, they're negative. They just suck the energy out of you the second you have that conversation. And side note, you don't want to be that person either, or a quitter. No surprise.
You want to quit being that kind of person if you are.
Yeah, quit being that kind of person. Maybe that would be a good show. So take home points. What are we talking about here? What can people do to decide best if it's time to quit or time to double down?
Chelsea, I'll let you go. I always jump in first. I'll let you go.
Chelsea, you're up.
I think just go back to make sure you're passionate about what you're doing. You're excited every day about it, even though you might be scared, you might not know what to do next. And then also take someone who's doing it better than you, take their advice and at least give it a shot before you quit.
Yeah. I think you have to be open to the feedback. I think that's a good point from today of people are there to help you talk through it. But if you're not even open, or so many people are like, that is what I do that already. Not really, or you'd be much further down the road. So I think just being open to some of that feedback, if you're having those doubts, those fears, which can be normal, are you open to listening to solutions?
I got two, if you'll allow me. So the one is kind of what we heard Gary John Bishop talk about at our tribe last time, which is honor the promise to yourself that you made. Mm-hmm. And so most times you had to go through so many hoops to get into this business. Bank loans, personal loans. I mean, you worked your ass off to open up this whatever, right? And so be true to yourself, because there was a time where that was your dream and all you wanted to do was own that and have that sense of pride. And everyone cuts that ribbon day one or month one, and their smiles and everything shits and grins, right? And then you get 6 months down the road and it's tough, bills are due, different things like that. Maybe it's not growing as fast as you want. So if you honor that promise that you made to yourself to build a successful business, it keeps you going. It gets you up in the morning. It gets you solving problems late at night, and it'll get you where you want to get. So that was a big, I think he says it very eloquently and beautifully in his books. But I think that's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing that's been powerful for me, a long time ago, my father-in-law talked me through how he worked through stuff. And so he has, when you've heard this talk he does, but he has a board, essentially, like a business would have a board with 10 people on it, 8 people, 12, whatever. Those people are people in your life that have made an impact. And they may be people you know. It's my mother, it's my father, it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my spouse, right? Or it could be people that you just know are powerful. So like you may have Tony Robbins, Gandhi, your grandma Nana. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of different people that may be on your board. And when you're going through a massive challenge in your head, when you're laying down with yourself, go through what every one of those people would say. I know you do this with your dad, right? So what would your dad say to get you through this? What would he have said during that time? What would this great person, you know, what would whoever your hero is say, right? What would Tony Robbins say to do at this point? So you go through what you think these people, and you'll be amazed because what you come up with is a combination of what you think is right, but said in their tone. And sometimes when you go around the board table and hear about 10 opinions that you know that they're against what you're thinking, right? None of them saying you should quit, you should quit, you should quit. By the way, if they say that, get a new board. But I mean, when you go around those people—
You're out, Grandma Nana.
But I mean, when you listen to them, it's kind of amazing. It's kind of a reflection of like, all right, like it's time to get going on it again. And oftentimes during tough times, it's like Chelsea said, let's circle back to that final thought. Take a walk, go work out, go to bed. Go have a bottle of wine. Yes, not a glass, a bottle, like whatever you need to do, like just deal with this. It'll be there tomorrow. You're not in the right frame to solve this issue. The second quitting starts to come into mind, whoa, I need a break. I'm going to go run a 7-minute mile and just sweat and just kind of clear my head, then come back and see if I think that. Now, if 2 days later, you still think that, maybe it's time to modify, right? But chances are you'd be like, fuck that. That's not where I'm at now. So anyway, lots of thoughts today. Don't be a quitter is the take home point, but deal with it. Realize those challenges are coming. And those of you that really work your ass off to open up your dream business, realize there's going to be tough times. So your ability to cope with them and how you cope with them, the coping mechanisms are going to dictate your success without a doubt. So appreciate you all joining us. Thanks for listening to another edition of the EJ. As usual, we're open to your ideas. Would love to hear them. Would love to send you an EJ t-shirt for doing so. And we just appreciate spreading the word of entrepreneurial success here. We're a bunch of badasses doing badass things. And we want you to join the crew here. So peace out. We'll talk to you next time.